This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WPHT, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now,
this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of non-stop talk with Rich Zeoli.
The Phillies game is canceled tonight. The FAA is ordering stops to flights, so check with your carrier if you have a flight scheduled for this evening. They say now, this is the worst air and dangerous haze grips our region because of these Canadian wildfires. Good news is they say it should be out of here tomorrow. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. But like I said, if you are young, if you're elderly, if you've got asthma, allergies, or you've got a chronic condition, COPD or something like that, be careful and take care of yourself. And also, too, if you are somebody who just doesn't like the smell of smoke, I would say don't go outside. I mean, if you don't like this, because you're going to smell it. You smell it. It smells like a giant campfire is what it smells like. So if you don't like that, I actually prefer the smell of campfire. I think it smells great. But, you know, I'm a little strange when it comes to that stuff. It reminds me of my childhood for some reason. Now, turning our attention to the latest hate crime hoax that happened. Well, we don't know if it's a hoax. We're not sure, but we'll find out what Dr. Wilfred Riley thinks. He, of course, is a professor of political science at Kentucky State University and the author of the book Hate Crime Hoax. Professor, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. What about you?
Well, we're good. We got this smoke over us here in Philadelphia, but otherwise, you know, we're hanging in there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The whole East Coast is shrouded by these Canadian wildfires or whatever. Yeah, now, I've seen pictures from buddies in Brooklyn and so on where the sky is orange. It looks pretty eerie out there.
It definitely looks eerie, no question about it. They canceled the Phillies game for tonight and my son's swim practice. So
yeah, there's a particulate matter in the air or something like that. I don't really know how dangerous it is, but it's definitely noticeable.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how dangerous it is either, but of course it's not going to stop politicians from coming out and giving speeches. Justin Trudeau, I see him on TV. He's given a big speech in Ottawa, and the New York City Governor New York State Governor Kathy Hochul is prepared to do an emergency briefing at 5 p.m. You know, the politicians can't let that go. Come on.
Yeah, well, never let a good crisis go to waste. I mean, now, this doesn't really have that much to do with climate change or anything else. I mean, Canada has the same forest management problems we do. There's a big problem in Kentucky. You can't burn the forests anymore. So sometimes, you know, these fires start and they run for 2 or 3 days along the Tennessee border. But yeah, I mean, I assume Trudeau is going to give a speech about how the world's coming to an end and so on.
AOC is already blaming climate change, actually, for this. We have no idea that it's because of climate change, but she's already blaming climate change and saying you need to pass the Green New Deal.
Yeah, well, the Green New Deal, first of all, doesn't really have anything to do with climate change. But, like, my take on climate change is that if you've ever actually read the UN reports on climate change, like, climate change is happening. But what's happening is that over the next 125 years, the world's going to get 2.4 degrees warmer. So when people point at, like, an individual flood and say this is due to climate change, that's just nonsense. People are just making stuff up. Like, the increase so far, I think, has been half of a degree. So, like, there's a difference between weather and climate, like, you know, the Scoutmaster said. This is just politicians using things to the extent they can.
They do it. They, like you said, never let a good crisis go to waste. No question about that.
Yep.
And that's also why they want to ban gas stoves. You know what I love, too, is I love they come out and they mock this idea of a gas stove ban by saying nobody's coming for your gas stove, as if we think they're going to send a squad of federal agents to my home to seize my Bertazzoni range. Nobody thinks they're going to take our gas ranges. It's about buying new ones in the future. Like, how stupid do they think we are that we actually think they're going to be confiscated?
Well, I mean, I think the average politician, for pretty good reason, thinks the average voter, and this is true for Democrats or Republicans. I mean, if you're on Twitter and Facebook, you've seen this argument for like 3 days about like which political party and ethnic group and so on is the dumbest. I mean, I think the leadership class pretty openly thinks we're stupid. And so you have a lot of this kind of half-honest talk, like what you're describing. For the audience, I'm sure you already know this, but the idea that politicians might ban some random, perfectly normal thing isn't a crazy conspiracy theory. Like, in most states, light bulbs have to be like a certain long burning kind of tech now. So, I mean, that happens all the time. And it happens in incremental steps. Like, I mean, when I was in college, you could still smoke in bars. You know, ephedrine was available at gas stations. I'm not praising all of this, but sort of safetyism in society really intensifies it. It intensifies step by step, where businesses now suggest that during flu season, you walk around in a mask and so on. So, yeah, the gas stove thing is probably going to happen. I mean, I've seen template plans where, you know, the proposal is that people use, you know, less energy-consuming ranges and that kind of thing, which, living in coal country, brings up the question of where do people think electricity comes from? But it sounds good. It makes people feel like they're doing something. And, yeah, that's a real thing that's on the agenda, I suppose.
Yeah, a ban on future purchases, but not a confiscation of existing ones. But that's how they get around it. They mock it and they belittle it. And then if you talk about it, you sound like a conspiracy theorist. No, Richard Tromka, the head of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, literally said he had the authority to ban future purchases of them because of kids with asthma. And then you see in New York State and in New Jersey now, both states are phasing them out over time. Where in my state in New Jersey, by 2035, you will not be able to use natural gas as your cooking source. Now, it's an executive order, and hopefully if there's a Republican governor, he'll overturn it, but this is a direction that we go. Now, you said you're in coal country down there, and we in Pennsylvania, my region, there's been a lot of coal towns that have been decimated by the war on coal in particular. A lot of forgotten communities in their wake, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I mean, this is actually something I was talking about the other day that's really kind of non-political. But when people talk about why is there such a high crime rate in these urban black communities or in these poor white communities like Appalachia, you know, no excuses. And you can talk about family collapse and so on. But one obvious reason is just that there are fewer jobs. Like, there was a bipartisan movement of a ton of our jobs to places like Indonesia. I mean, this happened after NAFTA. I mean, and then you've seen things like environmental campaigns against coal, against natural gas, against fracking, you know, what do you get aluminum out of bauxite mining? So, like, all of these communities that were set up to do one thing, like, here we run the mine and we run the lumber mill. You know, the lumber mill's in Malaysia right now, and you can't legally run the mine. So you're going to have a lot of problems if you have, you know, 10,000 working-age men and there isn't any work to do. Suicides, opiates, all that stuff is directly connected to this. So, yeah, this is another one of those big national problems that we just don't really talk about. There's not any kind of culture war prize to be won discussing it. So, yeah, it's a real shame.
Let me
Kentucky's one of the poorest states, obviously, outside of Lexington and Louisville.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, let me ask you, I was trying to find you on Twitter, but I noticed you changed your Twitter handle. You're now Nina Turner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Why are you Nina Turner now? Have you transitioned?
No. Well, I mean, I've done all you need to do to transition, which is that say you've transitioned.
That's true.
I mean, yeah. So the reason I picked that name is that Nina Turner, who is a black female, like left of Castro political activist, got mad at transphobes, again, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff, and said, look, my definition is really simple. If you say you're a woman, you're a woman. And a bunch of female friends, including my ex-girlfriend, responded and were like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, what if I say I'm Nina Turner? And Nina Turner actually engaged with me for a little bit, so I changed my name to Nina Turner. And I said, you know, I'm as much, you know, a woman as Nina Turner is, you know, anything else that she was saying she could be in this conversation, white, and so on down the line. So, yeah, I mean, I've transitioned in the sense that without changing anything, I've said I'm somebody else. And that's all you need to do.
You don't need to chop anything off. You don't need to add anything on. You don't have to do any of those things.
Well, yeah, I actually read the self-identification law that we have in Louisville that's been proposed in KY and Jersey and a bunch of other states. But, I mean, essentially the definition of a trans woman is just a man. There's, without even trying to be mean, there's nothing else required. There's no surgery. There's no psychological diagnosis beyond one visit. So, like, in all reality, if I wanted to, I could go to most women's spaces, at least in any urban area, and say, well, I'm here as a woman. Now, in reality, anywhere outside of, like, Brooklyn and Chicago, it'd just be people beating you with handbags and mocking you. No one would do it. But as time passes, you're going to see more and more people doing this. Like, the mosque bomber, the 6'2 Hindu nationalist radical that just got caught, has come out and declared himself to be a woman. And his take is, well, I sometimes feel sensitive. I don't want to go to men's prison. I'm as much a woman as anybody else. And it's hard to respond to that without actually, you know, being logical, without actually invoking biology. So I am Nina Turner because I say I am Nina Turner.
Let me tell you something, Professor Wilfred Riley. If I was ever convicted of a crime and sent to prison, which could certainly happen, the first thing I'm doing is telling them I'm a woman and going to women's prison. Are you kidding me? That's the first thing I'm doing after they hand down my sentence. I don't even have to transition a damn thing.
The actual booty house, the men's prison? Yeah.
Hell yeah. Who wouldn't? I mean, 100. That's the thing. You'd have to be an idiot to not go down this road and say that you're a woman.
Yes. I mean, again, this is a PG show, but your two options would be a prison full of women who, let's say, haven't encountered men in a while, or a prison full of men who, let's say, haven't encountered women in a while. And if you're just an average guy, passable fighter, I mean, like, yeah, of course. Absolutely. If they did require me to get some kind of minor surgery, Adam's apple shaving, yeah, if it's more than a year, I'm definitely doing it. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff, a lot of feminism in general, like the idea that women like wealthy, somewhat dominant men, the idea that all of these gender roles are the product of some kind of tricky social conditioning, there are no differences between men and women. I don't hate my feminists, but you need to be pretty conditioned to believe this stuff. Like to believe that male rapists wouldn't want to go to a women's prison. So, yeah, these are the policies we have now, and they're literally crazy. The Arabs and the African states and other people we kind of, you know, traditionally have little bro'd a bit are looking at us and saying, you guys seem to be crazy. And they're passing laws that deal with transgenderism and so on in their own fashion, like it or not, really.
Let me ask you a question. What happened to the artist formerly known as Ellen Page, who is now Elliot Page? Right. And alleges now that there was a big attack, a hate crime against Elliot Page. Have you heard of the story?
Yes, I have. I mean, it's clearly not, most likely not true. My reaction with looking at Ellen Page is kind of this poor kid. Like, Ellen Page was a bisexual scene kid who was thrust into movie making. I mean, Ellen Page was Juno at, what, 14, 15, and has listened to a lot of this nonsense rhetoric from the left and also been surrounded by kind of this rich guy circle of yes men for some time. And as you know, Ellen Page, a couple of years ago, decided that she was transgender and did the full double disectomy, did the full hysterectomy. And, you know, I suspect is probably taking some gear, some type of steroid to get extremely muscular, extremely fit, and is presenting as a man. And when you look at Ellen or Elliot Page, there's a deep-seated depression there that's just really visible if you've been in any kind of leadership role. And it's not hard to guess why, you know, but so promoting her new book, Page Boy, Page said that a couple of months ago she was in L.A. and a guy came up to her and said, you know, the F word for gays, I'm going to gay bash you because you're gay. I'm going to gay bash you. I think that's an exact quote. And I don't think that's how crazy homeless people or whatever talk. I would give that maybe a 5% chance of being true. Like, my joke on social media was, I remember back in high school when, you know, a guy came up to me and my group of friends and was like, you are African-American. I am Caucasian. We are going to have an illegal fist fight under Section 27.2 of the Illinois, you know, criminal legal code. That's not how people say stuff like, get your hands up. I mean, nobody's talking like this. So I don't believe it personally, no.
Well, you are the author of Hate Crime Hoax. I feel like you are an expert in the matter, so that's why I want to consult with you. I also don't believe it. My spidey sense tells me this is a fugazi here, because it just so happens that Paige is trying to sell a book, which the much more interesting thing about this actually is that Paige says that she and Olivia Thirlby had sex all the time making Juno. And like all the time, I apparently on the set, off the set, in hotels and everything like that. But that was in People. And I guess maybe people don't believe that either, because that story got no attention either. So I don't know. I mean, you got to think maybe the book will sell, because if not, then Paige is going to be even more depressed.
Well, I've got to think that story is true. I mean, a fair amount of Paige Boy is Paige discussing like normal female receptive, let's say, sex with men. She's bisexual, so sex with women, where there's not any penis involved. And I mean, there seems to be a weird sense of awkwardness, because she keeps saying things like, well, boys can enjoy this too, or whatever. I mean, I guess that the new Elliot Page would be bisexual, slanting toward gay or something like that, if she currently identifies as a man. There's a not my business element to a lot of that, but I do believe the sex stuff that's in Page Boy. I don't believe that we've never heard this story before, but Elliot Page was brutally gay bashed or trans bashed or whatever, and decided to reveal this like an hour before the book dropped.
Right, right, exactly. The timing there is impeccable. It really, truly is. Dr. Wilfred Riley's with me. He, of course, is the author of the book Hate Crime Hoax, and his new book is coming out this summer. Do you have a release date yet?
Well, the release date's been pushed back, apparently. So it's currently like October 2023.
Okay.
But yeah, the new book is called Lies My Liberal Teacher Told You, and it... breaking down a whole bunch of things, from Native Americans weren't peaceful to slavery was universal. My moral defense of the USA is in there. I actually talk about the Red Scare and the fact there were a lot of, you know, communist spies around during the James Bond era. But all of that you can check out on Amazon right now. The book's available for pre-order, but it looks like we're going to have another month or so before it's really out on the shelves.
Amazing.
Which isn't bad. I mean, it gives you more time to get references. It gives you more time to edit, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And you know, you come on the show every week, and I'm always grateful for your time, but I your books are terrific too. We didn't have a chance to really talk about the latest thing with Biden, with this whole, I guess we kind of did, the white supremacy, just fear-mongering. But the latest is now the Southern Poverty Law Center has come out and said Moms for Liberty is a hate group. It seems to me like the Southern Poverty Law Center, they need to raise money. And it seems to me like if they can't find groups that hate, they would have a very hard time doing so. I think they are an absolutely vile organization. They label conservatives hateful and hate groups all the time, school choice groups, libertarian groups, Moms for Liberty, which are really just moms trying to make sure that they have some parental say in the classroom and that their kids are in school. But of course, I think that the goal here, of course, is to make a woman think, well, I shouldn't join my local Moms for Liberty chapter, because they're right up there with the KKK and neo-Nazis.
Yeah, obviously you and the audience are familiar with the phrase institutional capture. And I've debated smart leftists like Rod Graham about what exactly that means and so on. You mean you can parse it and get a little more precise. But basically the idea is that formerly respected organizations have let in crazy people at the executive level, and a lot of policy is now being shaped by those people. And if you look at the SPLC, the ACLU, any group like this, that's really what you've been seeing for the past 2 or 3 years. I think at either the ACLU or the SPLC, the person really responsible is Chase Strangio, who's another like 24-year-old trans man who argues that, I guess this would be the ACLU, who argues that hate speech isn't legally protected. But, I mean, you've got a lot of this across the board. And so the Southern Poverty Law Center has in the past declared that Majid Nawaz is a hate preacher, called Ann Coulter a white nationalist. I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's sort of absurd and where people aren't paying attention to it. But there's still that coterie of, like, CNN watching boomer liberals that really do think probably that Moms for Liberty is a right-wing hate group. I mean, the Proud Boys, that one's at least defensible, but have been labeled a white nationalist group. I mean, the leader is a black Cuban guy. So, I mean, obviously, Moms for Liberty, no, is a center-right group that focuses on getting sex education materials out of schools. I mean, it's the group James Lindsay is talking about when he jokes about dating moms. It's they're obviously not doing anything wildly unorthodox at their meetings in local churches and, you know, wine shops and so on. But this is just part of a pattern that we've already seen. I mean, this is just the same thing getting 5% worse. Like, they went from Ann Coulter to Moms for Liberty.
And one of the things that the Southern Poverty Law Center said about this group is that they don't want to teach black history. That is one of the biggest lies being told right now. I mean, the way I see it is they don't want to teach the 1619 Project. They don't want to teach critical race theory. But nobody's suggesting that we're not teaching black history. It's like the lie that was told about Florida where they don't teach about slavery.
Yeah, I mean, black history or kind of diverse American history, what happened with African Americans, Natives, the Irish, one of those two is a requirement in the curriculum, I guess, of something like 47 out of 50 states. So, no, there's no move toward not mentioning slavery in the classroom. It'd be difficult to teach about the Civil War otherwise. Yeah, the question kind of is how you shape what you teach. So, I mean, like, the 1619 Project is a far-left political project, comes out of the New York Times. The lead author is Nicole Hannah-Jones, the left-wing pundit. None of them are historians, as I understand. But, I mean, the basic argument is that everything good or unique about America comes out of black slavery, which is false. The Revolutionary War was fought to preserve slavery, which is false, and so on down the line. So you can totally support teaching about the Indian Wars or Jim Crow or something and oppose teaching that. I do myself. The most extreme example of this that we've seen, I think, was the Ron DeSantis Don't Say Gay bill. So, I mean, in Florida, they passed a law saying that you can't talk about sexual intercourse, sexual orientation, or gender identity with kids under age 8. I mean, there was a proposed update, but I think it's still just kids under age 8. And this is something that's supported by, I assume, both of us, but 70-80% of parents. The way this was presented was to use these sort of crazy edge cases, which is what they always do, and say, well, what if a teacher was in a gay polyamorous relationship? Could she discuss her partner? That kind of thing. And so the bill was updated to just be a limit on what's in the actual curriculum. But anyway, the label was Don't Say Gay. And so people started mocking Florida by saying, you know, here in New York, it's legal to say gay, you know, at public award shows and this kind of thing. This is the same sort of stuff.
Well, listen, I appreciate you making the time today. I look forward to having you on the show again next week. Dr. Wilfred Riley on Twitter at Nina Turner. No, actually, it's Will_Da_Beast. He's just identifying as Nina Turner. Yes, very good. All right, Professor, thanks for making the time.
All right, talk to you soon. Bye.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Cioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
You know, I was checking Twitter a moment ago. Johnny Cook, who always has some very thoughtful tweets, he said, how are those solar panels working out today? Now, when the next mega volcano blows, and it's like this every day for a year, and we're dependent on solar and wind, oops. Yeah, it's a great point. I actually didn't even think about the stupid solar panels, but you really can't see the sun. And they're apparently now, I guess the solar sun waves or whatever are being affected by the smoke out there. How is it affecting you? Have you had to change any of your plans? Let me know. 855-839-1210. I was accused of being flip before over the smoke. I'm not. I do feel bad if you have to work outside. And I've said before, if you are elderly or you are asthmatic or you have COPD or something like that, you know, take care of yourself, obviously. And of course I'd say that. And also, you know, kids, elderly people, you know, take care of yourself. I'm not flip about it. I also just don't believe in the AOC. Let's start panicking. It's the end of the world and this is climate change. And now we have to spend billions and billions and billions of dollars fighting climate change. I refuse to do that. This is certainly also, too, when they say that this is going to be out of here tomorrow night. So, you know, a little bit of maybe you kind of just take it all in stride. I do feel bad for people who have to work outside, just like I feel bad for them when there's heat waves, too. I always think about the guys on the highway and cops and firefighters and people like that. I always think about them when there's extreme events like that, weather, and certainly when they're rescuing people during storms and everything. So, no, I'm not flip about it. I'm grateful that I have a job indoors today. I did sit outside for lunch. I thought it was, you know, I mean, like I said, it smelled like campfire. It reminded me of my childhood. My eyes were a little itchy last night at Patrick's game. The kids all played. The kids were okay. You have to do whatever you have to do to always take care of yourself and your family. You know, that's my philosophy on that. You don't need me to tell you that. But the good news, and I always like to focus on the good news, is that this should be out of here hopefully tomorrow or maybe the day after. But I'm not exaggerating when I told Dr. Riley about this earlier today. These politicians who grandstand over this stuff, they cannot miss an opportunity to come out and give speeches, just like AOC cannot miss an opportunity to scream about climate change. Trudeau's doing the same thing up there in Canada, the same exact thing. I have a problem with that. That's where I get flipped. That's where I start to get a little bit of, is this really the crisis that we think it is? Because it's not. You know, let's face it, it's not. Really, we'll survive this, just like we've survived a billion other things. We'll survive this. But what I really have a problem with is these grandstanding politicians who wind up using something like this, the old never let a crisis go to waste, and start pushing their agenda, whatever that agenda is, you know? You'll have the secondhand smoke people coming out soon, probably, and saying this is another reason why we need to ban smoking outside. You know, there's always the people that take advantage of these things, and usually it winds up impacting my freedom in some way, and so I get a little bit hesitant about going, oh my God, it's smoke. But obviously, that said, if you've got health issues, if you've got lung issues or something like that, you probably should think twice about, you know, going out there for long periods of time. But I'm sure you've already thought that because you are a smart person. I also always laugh about that, too, when people expect either me, a radio host, or somebody who's on TV or something, to tell them what to do to be safe. I don't think you need anyone to tell you what to do to be safe. No, I mean, really, if there's an emergency or something, and obviously you turn on AM radio, which I hope will be saved. I don't want legislation to force it, but I hope it'll be saved. And yeah, there's emergency orders and, you know, to tell you where to go, where the meetup is going to be to avoid the zombie apocalypse, right? So yeah, in that sense, I will tell you what to do. I will say to you, here's what you do. Go down to South Philly. We're all meeting at the Wells Fargo parking lot, Lot T. Bring guns and zombie snacks, and we're gonna do this. So yeah, in that sense, you tune in for that. If there's an emergency or a crisis or something like that. But do you need the Fox News weather person to tell you how to be careful in this? Probably not. You're probably a smart person. You can figure it out yourself. But I think there is an element of society that does want that. They want somebody to tell them how to be safe. I always think that that's interesting to me when that happens. What do we have now? We got something new. What's this now? What did you send me, Matt DeSantis?
Oh, it's just a clip of Justin Trudeau that's making the rounds.
Oh, is
Twitter.
It?
Yeah.
Listen, I love me some mocking Justin Trudeau. So let's take a listen, shall we?
I will never apologize for standing up for an LGBTQ2+ kids' rights.
See, you know, in his defense, though, they do keep adding letters to it. So Trudeau should just do what I do and just say LGBTQ+IA, every letter of the alphabet group. Or just say L, every letter of the alphabet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he wasn't even close.
Not even close. And that, of course, is Fidel Castro's love child, no. Justin Trudeau.
No, the son of Pierre Trudeau. It's the official stance of the Rich Zeoli show.
Allegedly. He looks nothing like Pierre Trudeau, and he bears a striking resemblance to Fidel Castro. But yes, the official stance, according to Odyssey Corporate Legal, is he is the biological son of Pierre Trudeau.
He is the son of Pierre Trudeau, no doubt about it.
Allegedly.
Can we hear him one more time?
Sure.
Thanks.
I will never apologize for standing up for an LGBTQ2+ kids' rights.
Yeah, it's not easy, man. Just say, I will not ever stop standing up for every letter of the alphabet, all right? Just do that and make it easy on yourself.
To his credit, he didn't say sorry after he messed it up.
You're right, he did not. He did not apologize.
Yeah.
Much like his mother did not apologize for impregnating herself with Fidel Castro and his loves.
No? No, Justin is the son of Pierre Trudeau.
Allegedly. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in today. How's the smoke impacting you? Have you had to make any changes to your plans? Let me know. The Phillies have postponed the game tonight. There is an FAA flight stop going on, at least in New York City. I don't know if PHL has been impacted yet. We'll do a little research on that for you during the break. But either way, you may want to check with your carrier before you leave for the airport. And also, too, my son's had all kinds of activities canceled tonight. Well, all of his activities have been canceled tonight. So if you do have something tonight with your kids, you should probably check on that before you make the trip as well. Just a little pro tip for you right there. All right, listen. As I tell you every day, you know, we're so proud of our partnership with Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. They are terrific. And when it comes to your family, you want to make sure you are safe on the road. There's a lot of idiots out there, as you know. My wife drives the XC90. This is the beautiful new family car with that third row and all the safety and technology and luxury that you could ever imagine. And I drive the S60, a beautiful car made right here in South Carolina at Volvo's USA plant. And I'm proud of that fact, too. I'm also proud of the fact that I'm in a program called Care by Volvo. One payment includes insurance, prepaid schedule maintenance, tire and wheel care, 15,000 miles annually, and so much more. And after 5 months, I have the option to change to a different Volvo or keep the Volvo I have or cancel the lease altogether. It is true flexibility when you do Care by Volvo. And right now, if you're a Costco member, Cherry Hill Volvo will give you an extra $2,500 off an XC40. Now, the XC40 is a great SUV, and you'll love driving it, or $1,000 off other models. And these can be combined with other offers, so just talk to them for more details. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to taking care of you just like they took care of me. And I mentioned to you, I had my dermatology appointment with Dr. Justin Green today. He's a Cherry Hill Volvo customer. And he said to me, Rich, it was really truly a great experience there. Thanks for recommending them to me. And I said, absolutely, doc, no problem at all. I'm happy to do it because they stand with us every single day and they will give you an amazing, luxurious experience. Cherry Hill Volvo.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, so it is Wednesday hump day. And grateful that you are with us this afternoon. Appreciate it very, very much. We do have a little clip of man-child Justin Trudeau giving an update on the wildfire situation. And I've had a number of people ask if I know when this is going to end and, you know, could this go on all summer? Who knows? I mean, it's possible, but at least what I've been told, this should blow out of here in the next day or two. But yeah, I don't know. It is a good reminder, though. And I think that Johnny nailed it when he said these solar panels, right? Kathy Hochul said several days of this is what the governor of New York just said. Okay, several days of this. So, yeah, if you have any weekend plans coming up outside or games or something, stuff like that, it's very possible that that it may get called off, just depending on how things go. So if you have any thoughts and you want to weigh in, feel free, 855-839-1210 or on Twitter at Rich Zioli. Here is man-child Justin Trudeau.
There are hundreds of armed forces members now deployed. Additionally, the CAF is helping with everything from delivering food and supplies to people in Mingani, Quebec, to providing logistics support for water bombers at CFB Greenwood. I want to recognize the air quality statements that have been issued by Environment Canada because of wildfire smoke. People across the country are being affected. We're seeing vulnerable people at risk, outdoor events canceled, kids having to be kept inside at recess. The reality is, unfortunately, over the past years, we've seen extreme weather events increase in their intensity and their impact on Canadians. We have, over the past years, seen atmospheric rivers in BC causing devastating floods. We've seen...
Let's stop it right there. This is what I mean. This is why I have a problem with it running around with a chicken with my head cut off, because these idiots always completely rush to blame climate change for this. They can't help themselves. Trudeau, AOC, Kathy Hochul, they all do it. They all do it. There's no evidence that this is because of climate change. None whatsoever. There's no, but it doesn't matter, right? Because even if you were to come around and explain that to them, they don't care. It's, you can't have a debate on it. It's just science. There's no proof, but it's just science. So that's the way it is. There's zero proof that climate change, and I'm putting air quotes around that, makes these fires any worse. Fires are fires. Where there's smoke and there's wood and it's dry, it's going to burn. That climate change doesn't change that. I mean, I've been having campfires since I was a kid. I have a wood-burning pizza oven in the backyard. When that oven is piping hot, every piece of wood I throw in there burns. That's not climate change doing it. It's my 850-degree pizza oven doing it. That's just the nature of wood. When it's dry and there's fire, it burns. So, you know, that's we've been doing literally since the beginning of time. We've been using fire for wood. And this is not a new phenomenon. So I don't know how climate change makes wood more combustible. You know what I mean? I don't know how that's possible. Now, what is this idiot suggesting, that it's climate change caused a drought that led to this? Is that what he's suggesting? Because he just talked about the rivers were overflowing. So I can't figure out what these people, where they come from. Is it climate change causes no water, or climate change causes too much water? Is it climate change causes drought conditions or flood conditions? The answer? All the above. It's all the above. That's why they changed it to climate change. You remember it used to be global warming back in the day, until we started having all these extreme weather events, you know, things like snow. And then they realized that global warming wasn't cutting it from a branding perspective in wintertime. So suddenly global warming became, you bet, climate change. An all-encompassing, just whatever happens event, you blame it on that. You just blame climate change for it. That's how you do it. Whatever it is. So it doesn't matter. Floods, droughts, extreme storms, wimpy storms. Like I was told this winter that the reason why we didn't have a snowy winter was because of climate change. But if there had been a blizzard that dropped 2 feet of snow on us, I would have been told we got that blizzard because of climate change. You know exactly what I'm talking about right now, and you're probably nodding your head in agreement. So wood burns when it's around fire. And when it's wet, it doesn't burn as well, but it still burns depending on how hot the fire is. If the fire is really, really hot, it's going to burn it either way. Wood burns. If it's dry, then it burns quicker, faster. That's why when your firewood is wet at a campfire and you throw it in the fire, it gets very, very smoky, as you know. But it still burns. It may take longer to burn. It may frustrate you. But once that fire is really, really hot and you throw a wet piece of wood on there, it's burning. That's how it works. Climate change has nothing to do with it. Anyway, can you back it up a little bit to this moron, Justin Trudeau?
Yes.
Man-child, son of Fidel Castro.
Kids having to be kept inside at recess. The reality is, unfortunately, over the past years, we've seen extreme weather events increase in their intensity and their impact on Canadians. We have, over the past years, seen atmospheric rivers in BC causing devastating floods. We've seen Hurricane Fiona hit harder than hurricanes in recent memory last year, and this year, the worst wildfire season we've ever had.
All right, so wildfires. It's wildfire season. Forests have been burning since the beginning of time. It's how forests clean themselves, but again, if there weren't fires, it'd be climate change. If there are big wildfires, climate change. It's all encompassing. It's everything. There's no proof climate change causes more wildfires, none whatsoever, or makes the fires more extreme, none. But let's just say it anyway, because it's an agenda and you got to push it. Oh, speaking of, so Chris Licht, who was the CEO of CNN, is out of a job after 15 months, Matt DeSantis? He was not there that long, right?
No, he was. I don't know what the exact time frame was, but it seemed like he just got there and was just starting to make progress.
Do you remember after the Trump town hall? I forget who it was. We played the clip of them just completely crapping all over his own station.
Oh,
was
that was
Jake
Anderson
Tapper?
Cooper.
Anderson Cooper, right.
But Jake Tapper was one of the people at CNN that apparently was complaining behind the scenes.
Yeah, and really the Trump town hall is what did it. And so even though he was a ratings machine for them, at CNN, there were so many people there that were just angry and felt like CNN did not do the morally correct thing to do by having a town hall with a potential next president and former president of the United States of America. That was too far for them to... doing that town hall was so morally incorrect that Chris Licht could not keep his job after that. That's basically a summary, I think, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Who was the... I forget her name, that the one that moderated the debate with, or not debate, but the town
Caitlin Collins.
Yeah, there was some pushback about her being promoted as well because she had her previous employer was the Daily Caller, which is obviously a conservative outlet.
Hmm. Well, no ducking way did I see that was going to go that way. I thought the guy'd have more time. So Apple announced today that they are changing the autocorrect feature. You will be allowed to type the F word now without it converting it to duck. Because honestly, nobody ever uses the term ducking. There's never been a situation. I mean, unless something's throwing at you and you're like, I'm ducking, you know, it's really the only time that, or if you're going to Joe's Peking Duck and you accidentally type Joe's Peking F word, but that rarely happens.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I, you know, exclaim I'm ducking and then text it to somebody and then duck. You know, it just right. Doesn't make sense.
Right. You're going to say, hang on a second. Someone's throwing stuff at me. So I'm taking the time to text you to let you know that I'm ducking right now. Nobody does that. And they're throwing hot fireballs at my face, but I'm letting you know that I'm ducking right now. Like, there's no context where you'd ever say that.
Yeah, the text isn't your priority in that moment.
No. And if you're giving somebody advice, there's an asteroid coming, duck. The word F in that context is more than appropriate. Whether 100%. You say duck because there's an asteroid coming or the F word because there's an asteroid coming, both work. Both work in that context. Am I right?
I'd like to meet the guy who suggests duck when an asteroid is hurtling towards Earth.
Well, you know, back in the day, you used to have to duck under your desk in case of imminent nuclear war. You know, the kids would have those drills back in the day as if that old school desk that opened up, you put your books in there, was somehow going to save your life. So you could duck and kiss your blank goodbye, or you could just say, F it, I'm not going to bother. You know what I mean? Duck, F, but again, these are extreme circumstances where either word is interchangeable. Otherwise, there's no reason where you ever mean to say duck or ducking in lieu of the F word. So, and as a Jersey guy, I'm annoyed every time I have to go back and change it.
Well, you don't have to do it anymore. Thank you, Apple.
Now, duck you. Damn it! So that's coming out soon. Thank goodness.
Wait, speaking of Apple, I have to ask you. Are you going to get their new Vision Pro goggles?
No. Why would I do that?
I don't know. People are excited about them.
Are you going to get them?
No, they're $3,500.
Yeah, that's why I'm not getting them, $3,500. So Apple's rolling out a headset to compete with Meta's headset. It is the first major new product in nearly a decade. It has very impressive technology, but the price tag on this is $3,500 for the new Vision Pro, so you can sit inside all day and go further and further and deeper into the fake world. Right?
For that price, it better be leaps and bounds better than the Oculus, you know, the regular VR headset.
The early reviews suggest that it is not. There mm-hmm. are some new features, but it doesn't justify the insane price tag. I mean, it's more than a brand new MacBook.
Right.
And I guess their spin on it is that it can be used to replace a MacBook. They're like pushing it as a work instrument, but how many people are realistically going to be strapped into goggles for an 8-hour work day?
Yeah, you're going to be the guy at work wearing the virtual reality glasses while everyone else is doing their thing. Like,
no, well, that's the thing. To make it worth your while, you basically have to sit there all day wearing them and having a life.
Yeah, in order to justify,
I feel like that would hurt your neck.
Yeah, they do.
You know, we may not have much time anyway because Baba Vanga, who's a blind Bulgarian woman, has predicted some of the biggest events in world history. A blind mystic who allegedly predicted 9/11 is said to have foreseen a nuclear disaster that will ravage Earth before the end of 2023. The mystic is said to have warned of a major nuclear power plant explosion in 2023 that would cause toxic clouds to settle over Asia. Now, the best part of this story is that we use a program on the show called Evernote to keep track of stories that are interesting. And Matt DeSantis usually labels those stories. This one was labeled light, as in a light topic. You know, if you want to do something a little light, tell everybody that this blind psychic who foresaw 9/11 is now foreseeing nuclear Armageddon this year. Well, and it's already June, so you only got 6 months left. Hey, a nice, light, feel-good topic for everybody, huh?
Can I defend myself? I think it's a light story, presuming you don't believe Baba Vanga is actually, a mystic capable of predicting the future, which I kind of don't. I don't believe her. Now, if you're buying into it, then, yeah, perhaps, you know, the end of times, courtesy of nuclear weapons and biological weapons being utilized in 2023, maybe not so light.
You think?
But I'm not buying what she's selling.
So you think we're going to have to stick around now for a little bit later?
I think we'll be fine, yeah.
Yeah, that's a damn shame. At this point, I wouldn't care. It was like, nuclear war, whatever.
It is concerning, though, because they said that, I think her prediction rate is something at like 63%. I believe.
Yeah. Nice, light, warm and fuzzy topic for a Wednesday. Hey, the girl with the better than average predictions is predicting global thermonuclear war this year. So we got that to look forward to, which is nice.
But this is where it's concerning, because some of the things that they've said she's gotten wrong, like, for example, one of the ones that is marked as incorrect is a prediction that the 45th president of the U.S. would face a crisis which would bring down the country. Now, obviously, America is still standing, but you could make the argument that COVID-19 was like a pretty big crisis that threatened to bring down the country at one point.
But that's anything that could threaten to bring down the country. Anything. That's a catch-all for everything.
Yeah, I mean, but COVID was a pretty big deal, and that was the 45th president of the United States, so she was kind of right there. I think she should get some points for that one.
It should also be noted that this blind clairvoyant, a.k.a. the Balkan Nostradamus, died in 1996.
Yeah, she's been dead.
So this is a prediction she made years ago.
And so here's another one that she technically got wrong. She said that Europe would end in 2016. Obviously, Europe did not end, but that was Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
So does she get any type of like partial credit for these half predictions? If so, then you know her hit percentage goes significantly
higher. I'd give her credit for that.
I think she should get partial credit.
She's dead. Who cares what credit she gets?
She predicted that by the way, her own death.
She did?
Yeah.
And then she took her own life. She's like, look at my average. I'm so good at this.
Gotta boost the average. Gotta get an A.
I don't think that's true. Did she really predict her own death?
Let's see.
No, I mean, she didn't kill herself.
No,
she
didn't kill herself. She said she'd die in August 11th, 1996.
All right. Well, again, kids, for the better than average dead blind psychic thinks that we are going to have a nuclear catastrophe. And that concludes the light and fuzzy portion of the show today. We hope this has uplifted you on your drive from work. Tune in tomorrow for more light topics. This one, how bioterrorism is coming to a town near you tomorrow.
She did predict biological weapons were going to be used in 2023.
Gets even better. Look at this.
Yeah.
So I hope I've really put a pep in your step tonight on your drive home, huh? With all the smoke and smog, and you can't breathe and you can't see and your eyes are tearing up. And now you think about the fact that global thermonuclear war is coming later this year. And with that, let me tell you that the fourth and final hour straight ahead, we'll get into a little bit of presidential politics. Chris Christie, he's in the race, but why is he in the race? The guy has no chance in hell of becoming president. And I'll tell you who Doug Burgum is and why Doug Burgum thinks he has a chance of becoming president. Spoiler alert, he doesn't. So I'll give you that as well on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, or 855-839-1210 if you'd like to tell me how the wildfires in Canada have impacted you with all this smoke in the air. Now, look, if you're ever hurt in an accident, I want you to do something. I want you to reach out to my friend, Tom Skopanich, because you need an attorney when you're hurt. You need somebody who's going to fight for your case and get the fair value for your case. You do not want to assume the insurance companies are going to have your back. Look, insurance companies are big businesses, and like any big business, they have one thing in mind, their own self-interest. So you need a guy who's going to fight for you. That is my friend, Tom Skopanich. For over 25 years, he has helped people in our region fight to get what they deserve if they've been hurt in accident. And you know as well as I do that having the right advocate makes all of the difference. He's licensed in PA and New Jersey, so he can help you on either side of the river. So if you are hurt, reach out to him today. Just go to scopelawyer.com, S-C-O-P-E-lawyer.com. He's going to fight for you. And the reason why Tom Skopanich is so effective is prior to starting his own law practice, he used to work for and on behalf of insurance companies. So he knows their tactics. He knows their strategies. Let him put them to work for you. Tom Skopanich, scopelawyer.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.